I ran into a Mystic player. I'm Instinct. A Mystic. Both of us dislike those Valors, I guess. Because we have I have a story that I'll get to in a little bit. But we're like, hey bro, let's team up and destroy this red gym. And he's like, party on, Wayne. And we like, woo! Right out of there. It was awesome. So he had a car of like, I think it was him, his mom, and his son. And I had the wife and I. So like, we took down the level, I think it was an 8 gym, relatively easily. It would have been much better if I could have like, got us to sync up our go.
Right.
But you know, you get what you get. But yeah, I had a good time. It was pretty awesome. And we'll get into the reason why later. I should subtitle this show, Cheaters or Sons of Bitches. But I didn't. Hello and welcome to this week's Two Trolls and a Brew, a podcast theoretically about Dungeons & Dragons. I'm one of your hosts, Samus Garobo, joined by my co-host, as always. What? I'm Samus Garobo. Did I do it again? Did I talk about Dungeons & Dragons?
Yeah, you did.
Yes. I get so in that, because I do that other podcast all the time, right?
Right.
And it's just like, da-da-da-da-da-da. Sorry, a podcast. I do it every week, it seems like.
Yeah.
I mean, I've just done that one for like 4 years. This one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
51 episodes. A podcast about Magic the Gathering. I should put that in there. A little podcast about Magic the Gathering. My name is Samus, joined by my lovely co-host, as always, Travis. Hey, big boy.
I'm lovely.
You are lovely today, my friend. As I said, episode 51, titled Value Town. Subtitle, Have You Read Nature's Way? That's a double thinker right there, because, in fact, is a Magic the Gathering card in this new set, and Nature's Way or the Highway. So, Travis, it's been a while. I got a draft of Friday Night Magic. It's, you sent me a deck. You said you got a draft?
Yep. The big store, they do a draft once every release, which is just awful.
That seems ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you guys get to draft, but only once.
You gotta draft this one time, and yeah, never again. Henceforth, will drafting be allowed in this shop until the next release?
Right, and it's just awful to me. But no, I did get to drafting. I did pretty good. I
share your thoughts. Well, share your thoughts with us. Why I play with my Legos?
So pack one, I decided. I picked up a card. It was that black legendary dude, he's a 4/4. I'm bad with names since the set is still new.
I don't know. I've never played with him. I've never seen him. I haven't read through the spoilers super well. Just for commons and uncommons.
He's a legendary dude. Let's see if I
can right here. I love how prepared we are.
Yeah, dude. No, it's good. Like, found him.
Okay.
Knew it. I'm organized. Told you. So it's Gonti, Lord of Luxury.
Okay.
Great creature, death touch. When he enters, look at the top 4 of opponent's library. Exile 1 face down. Put the rest on the bottom in any order for as long as it remains exiled. I can look at it and cast it and spend any mana to cast it. So.
It sounds alright.
So I saw him. I'm like, yeah, alright. I'll try and do, you know, pick him up just to see what I get. So, I grabbed that, and then the very next card to me, or card that was passed to me, was Midnight Oil. I was just like, alright, well that's less good, but it's still black, so I guess I'll try it.
Hey Travis, the deck you sent me is all red and blue.
Yeah, I'm getting to it. So, after that,
all of
the black was pretty much just snatched up by the person to my left. Or to my, from our left. Yeah, from my right.
So did they bait and switch you, or do you just think that they moved in later?
Basically, they moved in like pack 3. Or maybe they had like a foil rare in pack one, and then I don't even know. But yeah, you know, like you said, my draft pool is all red and blue, so I moved into blue because that one, you know, blue is always a good color in drafting. It's a solid color.
Let's call it. It's been okay lately.
Yeah. So I started going blue, and black was still getting taken. So I was like,
"Are you running four of the counter spells? The
no,
four mana counter spells?
Just three." Shut up! It works.
I didn't say anything, Travis. I didn't say a single word.
So, you know,
put Samus to put your head on your desk and shook your head back and forth.
Pack no, one, you know, just it was a combination of bad black and blue spells. So I was like, all right, whatever. Pack two, I opened up a Chandra. It's not in this picture because I already traded it for a lot.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm a force red. Red and X. And then black just kept getting taken, so I was like, all right, well, gonna be black-blue. So this is basically the deck that I ended up with, you know, the Aether.
Plus code. Chandra.
Yeah, plus Chandra. So, two select for inspection, a mastery, a minister of inquiries, the glass blower's puzzle nut, which, by the way, that's a pretty good card.
The double scry one?
Well, I do have that one also, but the red one.
Oh, I thought you said the glass blowers, but the flame forger's puzzle knot's very good as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I have both of them. You know, whatever.
I just say words.
Yeah. Yeah. The Aether Theorist, which that's the dude that scries for energy. Thriving.
I really like that guy. Like, yeah. A lot.
Thriving Grobes, which is the.
I like those guys too.
Aggro Dude. Three Chandra's Pyrohelix.
That card is amazing.
Removal. The card's
really good.
Single Revolutionary Debuff. Right?
Rebuff, right?
Yeah, I can't really see it. I took a really crappy picture.
You did take a really bad picture.
Yeah, but it's okay because I don't care. Then I got two Workshop Assistants. Which
it's the 1/3 that when it dies, it comes back, right? Or yeah, something else comes back.
It's a 1/2, and when it dies, you return an artifact from your graveyard to your hand.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, trolliest combo is having one of those in the yard and one in play, and your opponent just has like a 5/6 that doesn't have trample or evasion. You're like, oh, okay, no. All right, I'll go ahead and take one. It's fine. But then two of the Filigree Familiars.
Those guys are great.
I think that card is going to blow up. Like,
that card is very, very good.
Yeah, it's so incredibly stable.
It's almost as good.
There's no downside to it. Solemn Simulacrum.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah. Almost that good, I think. Almost that good.
Yeah.
It's very, very close.
Then three failed inspections.
This I'm unsure about. Like, I'm with you so far, and then three of this.
I needed more control, and there wasn't enough removal coming around. So I was like,
see, I just assumed that you were like, there is, like, I'm not getting any good cards, so I better stop other people's good cards.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Then I had a Furious Revival.
Reprisal?
Yeah, sure, I can't see it. It's the one where it's like 4 mana for a sorcery that does 2 damage to...
Twice, right?
Yeah, to 2 creatures and or players, something like that. Then a Longfin Sky Whale. By the way, I called it that was going to be the best uncommon in the set, at least for draft, and this card is a beating.
It's like a big 4/3, right? That can't walk non-flyers?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems fine.
So I mean, if they're coming at you, and you got this just constant blocking from a workshop assistant, and they just swing in because you can't block with your whale, and you're swinging back with the whale, and I mean, really, it's five swings for you versus, you know, 10 swings for them. You're going to win.
I suppose that is how math works.
Yeah. Let's see. Then I got the Nimble Innovator. 4 mana, 2/2. When it comes in, you draw a card.
Every time I've seen somebody play this card, it's done really good for them.
Yeah. It is a really solid common. Like, there is no downside to it other than it costs 4. But even then, that's not that bad.
I mean, you're paying, what, 2 generic mana for +1/+1 on a Elvish Mystic. So, I mean, it is worse, but it's, I mean, for a blue card, it's probably about right.
Like, it is worse, but at the same time, it's harder to deal with. Not by much.
Sure.
But I mean, it's harder.
It could have had flash.
Right.
I think it for 4 mana. 4 mana, 2/2, draws you a card with flash would have been amazing.
Yeah.
So maybe it would have been slightly too good, but
right.
I think it could add flash.
And then the last card besides Chandra is the High Tide Hermit, which that's 5 mana defender. When it enters, you get 4 energy, and you pay 2, and it loses defender.
Yeah, so overall, I think your deck's probably fine. You could have used 1 or 2 less failed inspections. Nope. And like 1 or 2 more things, like a creature or like even a Windrake would be really solid. Like 1 Windrake over a failed inspection.
Well, if I would have been able to grab them,
I know. I'm just saying that's the difference between like this probably was a like what, lost in the finals?
I went 3-1 with it, and I lost the first round because I didn't get mana.
Okay. I was going to say it probably looks like a 3-1 deck, but...
Because
wasn't sure how many rounds you guys had there.
Let's see, it was the Familiar and the Workshop Assistants. Those things, you know, in the first game, they gained me 8 life.
Right.
Drew me 4 cards, and I still didn't see a 4th land until about turn 8.
Welcome to Magic the Gathering.
Yep, pretty much.
Variance is king.
So that's why I lost that game, but then the rest of it, I just destroyed. Because I had all the removal spells, I had counters, and I had blockers, life gain, draw, and Chandra.
Well, I mean, Chandra does probably make a big difference. Like, not seeing the Chandra here to picture it makes a big deal. But, yeah, no, a lot of these cards are cards that I've really begun to become fond of. Like, the 1/3 Miller that gives you 3 energy. The 1/3 Scryer for 2. I really like that guy. Obviously, the Familiars are great.
So, the Ministry of Inquiries... Oh, I put our judge on tilt with that because I played against him. Game one, he just won because he had 3 of the 4/4s that when you put it into play, you search your deck for another or for an assembly worker.
Right.
Yeah, so he had 3 of those and he was just like, boom, 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 laid them down. Game two, I dropped the Minister of Inquiries on turn 1. And then he couldn't deal with it. Like, he couldn't remove it. And,
you're so just, like, mill you out?
Yeah, pretty much. And I milled him the games 2 and 3 because of a single Minister of Inquiries on turn 1.
I've been really impressed with the Minister of Inquiries, mostly because it's a 1 mana 3 or 1/3 that also draws, or,
1/2.
That, is it a 1/2? I thought it was 1/3. Mm-hmm. That makes you 3 energy. I find all the things that make you the 3 energy on turn 1 in blue are really good, like the turtle, that guy. that makes any amount of energy are really good on turn one. They just did so much work for me, like at the pre-release and stuff, that I was really impressed with them. The one that scries, though, I think is probably my favorite, to be fair. I really liked the, what was it, the starfish from yep. Theros. And this guy is actually better. Like, you would not think so because it has a cost you have to pay of the one energy. But he gives you three. Nobody seems to want him very high. You have all of these interesting cards that just spit energy on the field. And it's not like, other than your one thriving grubs, you're filled with attackers that want to burn your energy. So you can just chill and make things happen. Maybe a turtle also would have made this better instead of a failed. Like, you could have lost two failed inspiration imperfections or whatever it's called for one turtle and one Windrake, and I'd play that deck every time.
Well, so would I.
I'm just saying that's the difference between like an 8 out of 10 deck and a 10 out of 10. You're really close.
I have a popper deck, and it's all of the common turtles.
Okay.
It's the turtle out of this set. The big turtle.
I'm following your comments. I understand what you're saying. I acknowledge you. I don't know what to say. Like, there's no appropriate answer for that.
It's fun.
I cannot wait to see you play it. So let's get to the troll cards of the week, shall we?
No.
Travis said no. You know what? I forgot. I'm 50% of the podcast. So troll cards this week. Both of them, ironically, are in Travis's deck, and neither of us really discussed our troll cards before we put them on the list. Select for inspection, which Travis has two of. I think this card is absolutely insane. And it put me super badly on tilt all the rest of the night that I played it last Friday. I don't think I won. I think I took second last week at the draft. And I made several mistakes. Some we'll get into, some we will not. But one that I got into, I fell into this trap one time. And I got blown out by this card. And I played around it the entire rest of the draft. Every game, someone had a single blue mana up. I was like, do you have this card? Because it blew me out so hard. So my draft this week, or last week, I had a bunch of like the +4/+4 spells. Uh-huh. And then I also had the green-white +5/+5 and trample, or all your dudes get +2/+2 and vigilance. I had a bunch of those, and then like these really aggressive creatures. And I was kind of using those things to like basically punch the big hole, get through the end. And I went for the double death kill. Like, I had to kill the guy that turn, I think. And I'm like, well, I've got a million mana. My dude's +5/+5 and trample, and he's getting an extra +4/+4. Attack for 13.
Yep.
And he's like, I spent two energy. I think it was the guy, the 4/4 that gives you some energy, and then you can like spend two more energy and make him +2/+2.
Okay.
So I'm like, attack, kill you real bad. And he's like, put it back in your hand, I'll scry one. I'm like, no!
Yeah.
So the whole rest, like, I can't even tell you how many times. Like, I could have done so much more damage had I like pumped one dude. But instead, I just got to the point where like, +2/+2 in vigilance, so you can't blow me out with that spell. Like, it got real bad. It got real bad. So that's my troll card. Your troll card is, obviously,
Mastery of Inquiries.
Again, another nutter. Yeah. We talked him up real bad. We talked him up real good?
Yeah, sure. Real well.
We just finished talking him up. so I'm not going to get into it again. But I really like how these two cards in particular interact.
So, you know, I just noticed, you know, when I was playing the deck, at least in limited, if your opponent cannot deal with it and you have ways to stabilize and control the board, you're going to win by making...
Well, it mills...
It mills three.
Three, right? Because I was unsure, but I'm pretty sure it's three. Yep. That's a big chunk. Especially if you, like, mill, pick it up, put it back down, mill. Like, sure, that's a lot of turns, but it's totally plausible with something like the familiar to hide behind for a turn or two, or
right, and I had
the workshop combo, workshop yeah. assistant combo.
And then I didn't even pick them up at all. Like, I had games where I was holding the select for inspection just in case they tried to destroy them. Like, if they just tried to destroy them, I would just tap them, make them mill three, and then put them back in my hand. Like,
right.
I had that, you know, just sitting there. But for the majority of it, I had, you know, turn one, make two energy. Turn two, I had, was it one, two, three? So three different ways to make two energy or two or more energy. And then turn three, you know, got the familiar, the workshop. Turn four, if they're not possessing any threats, then I just drop my own threat, or I just hold back for counterspell, or I draw a card. And then the crab, that drops and gives me four more mana. By turn five, if you're just using the mana every turn, you're winning the game.
So I want to throw a couple of quick things out there, because I think you're right. I think that's definitely pretty solid. The first thing I want to throw out there is there's like a 5/6 that you can't for like a ton of mana in blue. And you can spend, again, another ton of mana to make it unblockable. Mm-hmm. I forget exactly what it is. That thing is like the Nutter finisher in blue. And I want to say it's like a common or an uncommon or something. Like it's
a common.
Yeah, it's really easy to come by, but you can't kill the thing. Like, most of the colors don't have just straight up kill a dude.
No.
I think black might have one. White has a couple of things that, like, kill a guy with power greater than four, or power greater than three. But most of the things in this set, most of the removal in this set is either temporary bounce, tap a guy, or does less than three damage.
Right, the early burn.
Right. So, I mean, it's kind of weird where it sits, and a spell like the Select for Inspection just, I mean, you can use it offensively, you can use it defensively. It gives you card selection, not card advantage as you cast it. Like, it is super good, I think. And I think this is a card that you'll probably see it in a modern. I really think you'll see it in modern. Because right now, like, Merfolk is running the pick it back up, owner loses one life.
Mm-hmm.
I think they might switch to this. Because it does the same. I mean, granted, you can't do a untapped blocker.
Right.
So maybe it won't. But I feel like it fills a lot of the same roles. But with Merfolk, at least in the early start or whatever, card just to kind of get started, that card selection to get started. Or at the time, I would bet you 80% of the games that I've seen people play Merfolk, they've used that card to pick up their own dude, a lord or something, in response to a lightning bolt.
Yep.
I think you can get away with that same style of play here, forcing them to lightning bolt before Declaration of Attackers.
Right. And even then, that's...
Well, I mean, there are ways that you could probably figure out how to tap a guy in response, but it's questionable.
Yeah.
So there's one other card, and it's part of the reason why we've titled this week's episode Value Town. Thank you, really large motorcycle. Cross rocket. More than rub in the junk. All right. It's cards like Cloudblazer. Right? Cloudblazer, it's just dripping with advantage. And the guy, so we have a drafter, a person. His name's Chris. And he's basically known for being like the super aggressive guy, right? In all formats. In sealed, he likes to be aggressive. In standard, he likes to be aggressive. In draft, he likes to be aggressive. And I don't know what happened, but this draft, he drafted like my deck. Like we traded seats for the night or whatever, or brains for the night. I'm not exactly sure. And he drafted like double Cloudblazer. He got the rare that says copy a dude and then copy another dude or copy an artifact. He had at least one, if not two, of those bounce spells. I played him, I think, round two or three, and he literally drew 10 extra cards.
Yep.
Over the course of the game. And I was just like, oh, I can't win. But he's just like, I have no way to win. Other than these two Cloudblazers and the 5/6, I just can't win. I have no way to win. And I'm like, a 5/6 is pretty good, especially when it's unblockable. Like, that's pretty okay. It's like, well, I got to do it before I run myself out of cards. Still seems pretty okay. But there's just so much value to be had in this set, including a card that Chris and I were discussing. I don't want to say hate picked it up, but he picked it up kind of late and he was like, wow, I can't believe this card's still in the pack. And it's Nature's Way. And I asked you at the beginning if you've read this card and you said, no. So let me read it for you.
Okay.
A green and a generic for a sorcery. Target creature you control gains vigilance and trample until end of turn. Not that impressive, right? For two mana? Kind of so-so. It deals damage equal to its power to target creature you don't control.
Okay.
Now all of a sudden this card is insane. Because the creature deals the damage. Mm-hmm. So if you have a lifelink or death touch or whatever, it's going to get it.
Right.
Plus vigilance and trample. Like, I had one in my sideboard and Chris and I were talking about it and he's like, yeah, I think it's really good. I think it's so good you're going to see it in standard.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, are we really? Then I put it in. I put it in over, I think I had two Hunt the Weeks, this card and something else.
Yeah.
I took out whatever the other removal was, I forget. And I put this in and it demolished at every setting. I used it. I used it to kill X1s. I used it to kill X2s. I used it to kill like a big fatty. I did have to do more work. But I was able to use it and to kill just about everything eventually. And when you think about it, like if standard suddenly is Sylvan Advocates and what? Crazy decks, like this thing could get there. An unpumped Sylvan Advocate is a 4/3.
Yeah,
it's pretty easy to kill something on the toughness of 3. A 4/5, also not the end of the world to be able to kill in this format. So I think he may be right. Nature's Way may become the new Dramica's Command. In a very real way. In a very real sense.
So, I'm just going to, like, cut you off.
Go ahead. Interject.
Speaking of, like, cards that are going to become the next,
okay,
like, you know, staple, the Aetherstorm Rock.
I had one. Didn't get to play with it as much as I wanted.
I think that's going to become the next Wingmate Rock.
Maybe. Does it make dudes?
It doesn't make dudes, but it.
I know it makes energy, right?
Well, it makes energy based off of any creature coming in.
Uh-huh.
And when it attacks, it taps down a dude.
Okay.
Yeah, like if you pay two, it gets bigger and something is no longer allowed to block this turn because it's out of play.
And I'm pulling it up right now here, so I can just read it.
Like, I'm not saying that it's going to be as explosive as the Wingmate Rock, but it is definitely going to be, I think it's going to be a staple based off of its abilities.
So, let's just read it for 1 second. White, and two generic for a 3/3 flying bird. When it or another creature enters the battlefield under your control, you get an energy. Whenever it attacks, you pay two energy. You may pay two energy. If you do, it gets a 1/1 counter and tap up to one creature defending player controls.
Right.
So let's just pretend that you play it on four. Mm-hmm. Then you drop literally any creature.
Right.
And then you get to attack with it. It removes any potential fire flying blocker that they may have back as a 4/4.
Right.
That is very good.
Right.
New Wingmate Rock, but it is very, very good. If there's a Wingmate Rock in this set, I think it's Angel of Invention. But Aetherstorm Rock is very, very good. What's the Angel of Invention?
Yeah.
So it is a mythic for white, and three generic. It's an angel. It's a 2/1 flying vigilance lifelink. And it has Fabricate 2. So either it becomes a 4/3, or you get two 1/1s.
Okay.
Other creatures you control get +1/+1.
Okay.
So it essentially is a 2/1 with two twos.
Yeah.
Or it's a very large flying lifelink vigilance creature. Also for 5 mana. So I see what you're saying. I acknowledge it. And I think these two cards together are going to be insane. There might be a very good Flyers deck, like a mono white Flyers deck. Especially when you think about the fact that you have like Aerial Responder as well.
And the Eddy Trail. Like even if you know you don't do anything with the Eddy Trail, like even if it's just Flyers, it still makes energy.
So I feel like we have to talk about some of the mistakes I made this week
at
draft because you talked about Eddy Trail. So for some reason, at the time, I completely believed Eddy Trail Rock was a 1/3. Mm-hmm. And upon reflection, the reason why is I had something that gave it a +1/+1 counter. There's like a green 2 drop that when it comes into play, you get to put a 1/1 counter on a creature. I think it's like a 1/2 normally.
Okay.
So like they seemed to come together that they were attached to the hip. So I was always like playing the hawk and then playing it and attacking for 2.
Right.
The hawk. So in my brain, somehow I associated it as a 2/3 or a 1/3.
Okay.
But didn't have a 1/1 counter. Don't ask me how. So I'm playing against Chris. I think it's game 3. Maybe it's game 2. He plays the 2/3 vehicle that flies. I play the hawk. He plays some random dude. I think it's probably like the master of inquiries or something. Or the scryer. I don't know. Wakes up and attacks with the vehicle. I think about it for a second, and I block with my bird. And I say, okay, what trick do you have to kill my bird? And he looks at me and goes, I don't need a trick. Mine's a 2/3, and yours is a 1/2. I'm like, no, it's not. I was like, no, it's not. Like, it really had that print. I was like, it's a misprint. Dude, this is not print. This is wrong. It is a 1. It's got a 3 toughness. I was completely convinced that it was misprinted, for I can't even tell you how long.
Welcome to another episode of
Samus Can't Read the Cards. Oh my god, it really killed me.
Literally.
It did. It killed. It killed. It ended up costing me the game. I ended up losing that game because of that. Because of that one mistake. Otherwise, I would have won that game several times over. Even with him gaining all that life from the cloud, if I could have attacked with one of my fatties in the air, he wouldn't have been able to win.
What's going on over there?
The flickering lights?
Yeah.
Nothing. The webcam's just acting weird, trying to figure out if it should be in light mode or regular mode.
Gotcha.
So, like, the dark version is probably what the room is actually like, and then it's light sensitive. It's probably also because I'm wiggling around, and it's hitting the white shirt.
Right.
And it's going, oh, it's dark. Oh, it's not dark. Oh, it's dark. Anyway, let's see, what time is it? Wow, we've been going for almost 40 minutes. And we haven't really gotten to the meat of the show yet. That sounds about normal. That's us. That's right, us at all. Right. So I wanted to talk about this deck. I get I'm hanging out on the stream, and I get my Twitter feed goes a little nuts, and I see this deck, and I'm like, oh, this deck looks kind of cool. And then about half an hour later, I start getting Facebook messages from people. Hey, I need some Kaladesh cards. Do you have this, 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 and this? I'm like, are you trying to build this crazy deck? And they're like, no, that's not what I'm trying to build at all. I'm like, okay. And then like 5 minutes later, I get a link to a deck. And I'm like, that's the deck I was talking about. They go, no, that's not what this deck does at all. So would you like to know what the deck is?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking.
It's this four-color Reservoir Storm deck.
Right.
And it's very good. I think it's interesting. It's definitely my style of deck, like this janky kind of combo-y thing. But this guy who built it, put it together opening weekend, played in a Star City Open. His name is It is Caleb, right? Yeah, Caleb. 423rd. I don't know how many people are at the tournament, but that's not very good. Right? Like, if he was in the top 20 or something, I would be like, hmm. But 423rd. But the deck looks sweet.
So here's the thing. If he made it onto camera once...
I think he did.
And he won a game with it once. And everybody who saw that was like, wow, this seems like a lot of fun. No matter how bad it is, they're going to try it.
Oh, my goodness. So I think I had six different people message me. I would like some of these cards. I'm like,
no.
I think I'm building this bad, cheesy deck. I don't think I actually am, to be honest. But the key pieces for the deck I do think I want to build do come out of this thing. So would you like to know what I am thinking?
Sure.
Potentially up to five color allies.
All right.
Using the Reservoir as like the alternate win condition.
Okay.
So if we think about it, right? Like, let's think of just some of the allies in Standard right now. Serene Stewart. It triggers off every time you gain a life. Natural combo, right?
Right.
Skyrider Elf, evasion 2/2 for 2 mana that can also be bigger in the late game if you need it. Seems okay. All right. Sylvan Advocate is a pretty good ally, I hear.
Nah, it's worthless. It's not even a good elf.
Well, it's a terrible elf because it's got clearly more than 2 con, but it's an excellent ally. I actually had the Gatherer pulled up for all the allies in Standard for a second, and now apparently I don't anymore.
Good.
I mean,
oh, you have two different one drops in white.
There are two different one drops in white. You also have the 1/3 that whenever a creature comes into play, you gain a life. And you also have whenever the 1/1 whenever a creature dies, they lose a life, you gain a life.
Yeah, yeah.
You also have the vampire dude that when he becomes tapped, you gain a life. So like vehicle pilot dude?
Okay.
You know, I think there's a lot of ways to get some life gain going. You also have
the Callista Healer.
Beast Caller Servant.
So do you know what the healer is?
Which healer?
The Callista Healer.
The 1/3 that lets whenever a creature comes into play, you gain a life.
No, well, it's whenever an ally does. I thought you were talking about the one in Aristocrats.
Oh. I was specifically talking about the one that's an ally, but there are other ones. But you also have the, I think it's a 2/2 flyer for 3, that at the beginning of each upkeep, they lose a life, you gain a life. So you already have all these little life-gaining cards in the synergy, plus you have a 5-color land if you want it.
Mm-hmm.
You also, like I said, you have a mana accelerator. I'm sorry, what?
I said it also potentially saves your creature.
Yes, because it's a balance spell. So you could potentially also use it to pick up a cheap ally and replay it for like a second or third or fourth trigger of the reservoir.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think the way to go is this cheap ally theme. Basically like an aggro allies deck using things like Fire Mantle Mage or all your allies get lifelink or all your allies get first strike. Like these cheap little bears, and like the reservoir or always watching,
okay,
to like kind of push it through. So kind of think like the green white allies, the green white human deck, except instead of humans, it's a little bit more ally based to get these weird synergies going.
So how would you feel about Cryptolith Rites? The one where your creatures tap for any mana.
Okay, right.
So Cryptolith Rites and the Bushwhacker.
I like it.
Because he's an ally.
He's an ally. That would also make my list, yeah. The other thing that you could do, isn't there a...
On turn, like, first, and then you give all your stuff haste and bounce them all back, and after you tap them for mana, and then play them again?
Well, see, the other thing I was thinking is, don't we still have that ally sorcery that returns, like, up to 8 power worth of allies to play?
I believe so.
So, like, you still have that. Like, you could run it as a 2 of from the tombs, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. March, I don't remember. Plus, you also have, like, and I don't know if this is any good, but you have things like Alms of the Bane and the 1-mana gain 5 life draw card. Is it draw card? You just gain 5 life.
Yeah, March from the Tomb still legal.
Yeah, March from the Tombs. Okay, but well, if you,
I was busy.
I was just thinking that you have these potentially 1-mana spells that gain you life as well.
Yeah, the Chaplain's Blessing.
Yeah, Chaplain's Blessing.
Like at very worst, with the artifact in play, it's 1-mana gain 6. Oh no.
Right. I'm just thinking like there's all these little combos in these colors, these cheap spells, especially if you were to do something like Cryptolith Rites.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't there something that says when a creature comes into play, something happens and you can draw a card? I swear there's something from Kaladesh that says draw a card. I don't remember.
I know there's a red dude that says when an artifact enters, you draw and discard.
No, that's not what I'm thinking of. But it'd be good if there was a way to like pick up cards. But the other thing that's really exciting potentially, and I don't know if you need the blue at all in this deck, but if you did have the blue in this deck, you could remember I was talking before, about the blue robot, the Hulk, it flashes back an instant.
Mm-hmm.
You still have the fadeaway or whatever it is that can blink out all your creatures and blink them all back in. I don't remember what it's called. It's like Ghost Away, except it's got a weird name. You can take up to all of your creatures, and they leave play, and then they turn around and come back. What did you say?
The white spell?
Yeah. The white instant.
I know what you're talking about now.
Like, you still have that. So you have all these allies with these weird triggers, right, that do all sorts of cool stuff, like...
Eerie Interlude.
Yeah, Eerie Interlude, because it's in Innistrad or whatever. So you have that. You potentially have the Gear Hulk if you want it. Like I said, you probably don't need it. You probably have enough spells anyway with these different triggers, like gaining life. Because all of a sudden, if your whole game plan is to win life or win by gaining life, because you slap down this reservoir at the end of the game, like, oh, I've got 70 life. Here's my reservoir. Shoot you in the face.
Right.
You can do a lot of craziness. The other thing that you could do is the Panatomicron. What is that thing called that doubles the...
Panharmonicon.
Panharmonicon. Thank you.
I'm so in love with this card.
Well, how much in love with it would you be if all of a sudden you're gaining twice the life? Or all of your dudes...
I didn't even think about that.
Like, I feel like this is the way to go. I think now is the time for allies to shine. Because there's so much good boost behind it.
Not even in an aggro deck.
No, I'd sort of say it. I don't think it's an aggro. I mean, I think you could play it aggro-y.
Right.
You could play it very aggro-y with these one drops and two drops that are very, very good, especially backed up with something very much like the Always Watching. So it could be very green, white, splashing black for the coming to play ones.
Right.
Right. And maybe a little bit of removal if you want to go that way, or you could just use the exile path, whatever. What's the new path to exile? They get a freaking clue token.
Declaration
in stone. Like, you could use that, and you can also get away with these amazing fight cards in green that they have now. And not even worry about going into black for creature removal.
Right.
Or you're going into black anyway. But you can do five colors. You could so easily splash green for the flyer. Or you could so easily splash red for all my dudes have menace. Like, you can have these weird aggro ways or goes. And if something happens and you can't aggro through the last few points of damage, you just like, let's play the life gain game. Boom. You run like two or three of them.
And play a single big kitty, Felidar Sovereign.
You could play a single Felidar Sovereign. It's the same kind of principle, right? Like, you get a high enough life total, you win the game.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like we're not done with allies, and I think people are going to overlook it if they're not being careful.
So, I may even think that in modern, it might be better with allies because you have the Ondu Cleric from first Zendikar that says whenever it or another ally enters a battlefield, you gain life equal to the number of allies you control.
Right. I'm with you.
Hey, you may gain life equal to the number of allies you control. And that's two mana. So
you can also set up with the ambush leader. So every time you play an ally, you just guarantee you're going to draw more allies the next turn.
Right.
The only thing that this thing really needs is an ally that draws a card when it comes into play. Or some sort of card advantage, because you're going to dump your hand super fast.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how to fix that. But if you just gather allies in this set right now, plus you also have things like Gideon, if you have it, that makes an ally.
I think that's why they have that 4-mana spell, Paradoxical Outcome. Because you're going to dump your hand. That's without a question. But Paradoxical Outcome, it costs 4 mana, it's an instant, and you return any number of non-land permanents you control to their owner's
hand. Oh, that's true.
So
you just redraw and go again.
Right. So if they like go to board wipe or something, or you know, you just chump block for days, you're just like, all right, after the chumps, boom, everything's back in my hand.
So do you remember how Cub was like in love with this veteran war leader?
Yeah.
Like now you have a giant fatty too.
Right.
I just, the more I look at this, the more I'm like, wow, this is potentially a thing. I don't know. It seems crazy to me.
Yeah. Well, it seems like a lot of fun to me.
I agree wholeheartedly. I thought there's a way in Kaladesh to draw some cards, either like mana way or something.
There probably is.
Manalessly. Oh, Aether Hub. You got one at your draft. It's another 5-color land, like the Tindo's Ice Bridge, except you just have to make energy.
Right.
So what if you ran I think it's the uncommon.
Yeah, the
machine.
Detoxion module.
Yeah, that spits out energy every time you play a dude.
Yep, whenever a creature comes in, you get stuff.
I really like it as well. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's something in here like that. Is there like maybe a new spell that says this turn when you play a creature you draw a card? Like I feel like there's something that does this turn or in this block, but I cannot think of it.
I don't know this block enough yet.
Yeah, I don't either. That's part of the problem. It's part of the problem. Interesting though. I would like to see if anyone else has any crazy ideas.
I guess technically Padim, Council of the Innovation. Beginning of your upkeep, if you control the artifact with the highest converted mana cost, or Tide, you draw a card.
Yeah, it is good. I think it is difficult to kind of make work.
There's the artifact that each player can draw an additional card, or play an additional land, and if you have no cards in hand, you draw 3.
It's also good. Like, that could be pretty good if you... Again, it costs 4, but if you're emptying your hand super fast, it could be very, very good.
Right.
Isn't there something that... Kind of like a Wheel of Fate right now, too? Where you redraw back to 7? I guess there's that one that ends your turn, if it's your turn, right?
And that one just cycled. Day's Undoing.
Day's Undoing. Oh, that was in...
Origins.
It was in Origins. Damn it, I thought I was onto something great.
Yeah, well, that's what you get for thinking.
I know, I'm so bad at things.
Yeah.
I have a question. Is there an equipment or a couple equipments in this block or in this current standard that you just think is ridiculous? Because that ally that, like, looks at the top 4 that cycles through seems great.
There's only one equipment out of this set.
Well, there's a couple out of the set. I just mean in standard.
Oh, in general, standard.
That might be... Which one?
I said I'm running them all.
You're running them all.
Yeah, yeah. So I have the Sigarda's Aid deck.
Mm-hmm.
So I have... Was it just 18 lands, Sigarda's Aid... And then all of my creatures, with the exception of the one ally that says, whenever a creature you control that's equipped dies, draw a card. That's my only 2-drop. Other than that, all of the artifacts are 1 mana or 0 mana. And I have the new guy that, at the beginning of your upkeep, if you control an artifact, it's a 3/2. And if you have Metalcraft, it has a first strike. So, I'm just running all the cheap things, like the Stitcher's Graft, Captain's Claws, the Master something or another. The armor.
I'm just trying to figure out if it's worth trying to run that guy in some equipment, or if you're better off just loading your deck with critters.
Well, I'm planning on putting the Reservoir in the deck and, I don't know, jumping up to 20 lands or something and just having like 1 or 2 of the Reservoir so that way I can stabilize.
Like after you take a beating, you can gain a ton of life.
Right. And I figure if I have the 2-drop that, you know, draws me cards when my creatures die. And, you know, Captain's Claws, they're going to make creatures every time I attack. Oh, might be something.
Sure. Yeah, no, I want to try it. I want to try this ally thing. I think it should be cheap. We'll have to see what MTG Goldfish. What can you? Hey, tell me about the reservoir. Is it expensive on Magic Online yet? I think this is the pre-release weekend, right?
Yep.
Magic Online, so things are probably going to be. It's like Aether Hub. Never mind.
Why? Aether Flux.
I have to try to find it.
A-E.
Nope, not doing it.
T-H.
Not doing it. Okay, here it is. It's $2. No, it's Aether Hub.
Aether Flux.
You look it up. I'm looking over here.
Honestly, if I did something, I would sit down.
I don't know. Yeah, that's the land. Here it is. They're showing it 12 cents online right now.
Nice.
So, yeah, I might try putting this thing together online maybe if they have a bunch. But yeah, this seems like right up my alley for like aggressiveness with these weird win conditions out of nowhere. And of course, you also still have like some of the best removal in the format. You have the Exile a Permanent, lose 3 life in black white that you could easily put in this thing. Again, if you're going 3 colors. If you're, what is Abzan?
Green, black, and white.
Did I say it right? Okay, sweet.
Yes, and you did.
If you're going Abzan, then you could easily put that card in for one of the removal spells. If you didn't want to do fight stuff, but I think a lot of the fight stuff in this format is going to be really solid. I know. I have to wait and see. But I'm very hopeful. I think we can get a lot of good out of it, especially if you already have like the gold ally land just laying around, like I do.
Me too.
I have a lot of the ally stuff.
I just have a playset of it.
So do you have anything else you want to kind of get into, or should we get into the mailbag?
I think we should get into the mailbag.
So a friend of mine, Load Beef, big fan of the stream, the various different formats, but he's also a big Commander player.
Oh.
Gave me a comment after the, how do you say that, Zuri?
Yeah,
this they posted last week. And he has a bunch of comments that he thought would be helpful. So Aluren, he says it is probably going to either backfire or get stuck in my hand. And something like Collected Company, Eldritch Evolution, Quarter Calling, or Birthing Pod would be better.
Yeah.
You're probably not wrong.
Maybe not Birthing Pod, because that'll only get you like 1-2 targets, because the deck tops out at 2 or 3, right?
I don't think so. Let me bring up the deck list again. SamusGorilla.com. Last week's show. I had a link in here. There we go. So this deck runs like Elvish Mystics and Llanowar Elves, Shrieking, a lot of ones, some twos, Blighted Agents, Cooling Oracle, Sage of Hours would be a two. We have some threes in like Chasm Skulker, and Champion of Lambholt. We have that says dudes can't block with power less than it.
Yeah.
You could probably run a little bit of a tutor box. Here's some fours in Bloodspore, Thranix, Brawn, Phantom Mage, Mystic Snake. Is there any fives? Yeah, we got a couple of fives. Bane of Progress is a six. Keldron Hydra. The Hydra that like doubles its counters when it attacks.
Right.
It's a five. Then you have like Avenger of Syndergaard 7 and Hornet Queen at 7. So there's a little bit. not a ton. But yeah, I could totally see quarter calling or collected company. Like, you're gonna have a lot of hits for a commander deck. That's a lot of hits for a collected company. Friends Ailes, in my experience, turns out to be a 5-mana disenchant that gains 3 life. That's the planeswalker, right? The green planeswalker.
Oh yeah, okay.
I'm not sure where that is in the deck. Unless we brought it up last week to make some 1/1s. I honestly don't remember. It was not, that particular card was not on my radar. But it still might be okay. But he says Triumph of the Hordes or Kamali, Fist of Carrosa might be stronger. I do like the Fist of Carrosa.
I like Triumph of the Hordes because you're just doing like a normal beatdown and everyone's expecting it. And then, oh, just kidding, poison.
Well, I mean, I think if you wanted to do something like that, it would be easy to put in a small sliver sub-theme. Like, I think there's enough blue and green slivers that you could have a few. You could have a few.
No.
Travis is shaking his head like mad.
No.
I think he could.
I could
be wrong.
As soon as I see a sliver hit the field, no matter what deck it is, I instantly target that player and just get them out of the game because I know they're up to nothing good.
Well, that's what I'm looking for, I think. All right.
Well, then you will not like playing Commander.
Azuri's Predation. What is that? He says that he would rather just have the... here it is. Okay, she is in here. Fraley's Land War Fury. They're hidden under spells. Azuri's Predation is a 8-mana sorcery for each creature your opponents control. You get a 4/4 beast that fights a different creature.
Okay.
So hopefully your 4/4s eat all their dudes. And you get some left over, I guess. I don't know.
I guess I understand where you're saying that Cyclonic Rift is better.
Well, like, obviously, if you can pick up everyone's permanents instead and just attack, you probably win.
Right. But at the same time, maybe put both in there. That way you can get a ton of things. And then you could also, you know, wipe the field anyways.
Maybe. I think it's just any wrath, right? Like,
right.
Green's just looking for any permanent wrath.
Right.
So, I don't know. Especially, though, if you have the ability to, like, I don't know, give all your dude an extra 1/1 counter or something when they come into play. Like, isn't there a thing that says dudes come into play with a 1/1 counter?
Yeah.
I thought there was. I don't know. I don't really remember. I just kind of picked a deck that I thought looked my style. But yeah, he goes on to say that there's a lot of small upgrades you can do, like mana bases, wood elves here, wood elves, you know, stuff like that. But he suggests trying to fit in an Eldric Spymaster of Trest from multiplayer games.
Yes.
This one I think I do remember. That's where if a creature does damage to an opponent, you draw a card, right?
Well, if a creature does damage to like anyone that's not you, they draw a card.
Whenever a creature deals combat damage to one of your opponents, its controller may draw a card.
Yeah, so essentially it's a group hug. That's...
I see.
So, like, if they attack you, they don't get the benefit. But if they attack your opponent, they do get the benefit, but also you didn't get attacked.
Right. I get you.
At the same time, you can still attack and get the benefit from anybody.
Right. Okay, no, I'm sold on that. I thought that just worked one way. But no, that seems good. Let's see, what else is in here? Biden of Thassa. I do also like a Biden of Thassa. It does very similar things. Yeah. He signs, much love, Load Beef out. Well, thanks, Load Beef. We appreciate the email. Emails are awesome. Emails eat up enough of the show that we don't have to think nearly as hard.
And if we all know who I am, that's something I don't like to do.
So I just want, before we get into like the plugging and the end of the show and figuring out what's going on with Travis's life, I just want to say we were supposed to record 2 hours ago. And I was a little late. I'm not going to lie. I was a little late. And then I text Travis. I'm like, all right, I'm sorry for being late. I'm ready to go. Everything's set up on my end. Let's do this. He's like, okay, turning the computer on now. I'm like, all right. Well, he knew that we were going to record like an hour ago. So it can't be that big of a deal. Literally, updates. And updates hit so hard on Travis's computer. Instead of starting right away, I went to the restroom for 45 minutes, I think, and came back and started the show.
It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't quite 45 minutes. It was like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But still, it was a massive wait. So I'm texting Travis. I'm like, you knew that we were doing this. Why didn't you start your computer an hour ago? And what did you say?
Because that's not who I am.
That's not who I am as a person. And I said, what? Prepared? And you said, duh.
Yeah.
Or forward thinking or something to that effect. And you're like, duh.
Yeah.
And I was just like, so Travis. So much Travis right now. Do you have anything else before we start wrapping up the show?
No.
Okay. Well, all of the shows, all episodes number 1 through number 51 will be found at samusgrobo.com, or of course you can check us out at iTunes or MTGcast. You can send us an email just like Low Beef did, the number 2 trollsbrew at gmail.com. I do check it at least once a week, and almost everything that gets sent to the email address gets read in some way, shape, or form on the show. So if you want to be part of the show, that is the easiest way to do so. You can also, of course, hang out with me on Twitch. I'm twitch.tv/SamusGrobo. You can hook up with us on Twitter. He is Turtle Power. The number is 319. And I'm once again Samus Grobo. There's a big theme. Samus Grobo this, Samus Grobo that. Makes me easy to find if you need me. I don't know. I think those are all the plugs. So now it's time for our game. And Travis has this week's game.
Yeah, I did it.
Yeah, I love it.
All right, so this game is basically just opinion.
Which I think this is how we should do this, too. Like, so, just before we get too crazy, I think what we should do is you should share your screen so I can look at the artwork through your screen, and I don't have to try to type nothing.
How do I share my screen?
There is a button on the left-hand side.
Okay.
That looks like a monitor with an arrow on it. You click that, and it'll say, share the screen. And you say, yes. Would you like me to share my screen so you can see?
Am I doing it right now?
Yeah, you did it.
Yeah, okay.
Perfect.
All right. So, the first one I have...
Oh, there's so many good Dark Rituals.
There really are.
Some of my favorite artwork for Dark Ritual is around.
So we got this one, which I think is also the Tempest set. Yeah.
So that is not my favorite Dark Ritual. It's okay. It's good.
You got that one.
I also like that one, but it's still not my favorite.
Okay. You got that one.
You're getting closer, but that's not it either.
I think that one's the worst.
That one's okay, but I still haven't found it. I'm trying to think. I think my favorite one is actually in... is it... What's the little... The leaf? Or the tree, sorry, the palm tree.
Arabian Nights. No, Mirage.
Mirage. That one's very good, but that's still not it. Crap. Look at... Did we look at Tempest? We did look at Tempest. Oh, geez. Just start clicking. I'll tell you which one's the right one. My favorite one. I know it's not Alpha, although that's a classic card right there. The original printing.
Okay, so the first first five are all the same.
Correct.
So then we got that one from Ice Age. You got that one. Mirage.
I really do like the Mirage one, but that's still not the one I like the best.
Tempest, Urza Saga, Pants. Tell me that symbol doesn't look like a pair of fat.
They do. I realize it's supposed to be a mask, but it does kind of look like a pair of pants. Man, I'm going to be like S-ing myself if I can't find this dark ritual that I have in mind.
That's it.
That's not okay. Well, I must be thinking about a different card.
What is the card that you like?
It's Dark Ritual, but I'm not. All right, so now I have to Google. I know that there's an artwork that they're not showing, I think. They're sacrificing a guy on an altar. But I cannot for the life of me think of it. Oh my goodness. Have you ever, not to get too sidetracked, but have you ever like just gone through some of the altars for cards?
Yeah. Why do you think I picked this game?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to, whoop. Too big. Too much me. So I'm gonna share my screen real fast.
Okay.
Because this is a very good dark ritual.
That is a good dark ritual. I don't think that's the one that.
It's not the one I'm even thinking of, but I think it's very good. I suppose.
I think you're talking about a. The one that makes four mana?
It might be the Cabal. That could be what I'm thinking of, too. I don't feel like it is, but...
I feel like it is.
It's possible. Those things all kind of seem like the same card, I guess.
All right, so out of those ones...
The Tempest one.
The Tempest one? Which one's this one?
Like, yeah. the Judge Foil one is really sweet. And I could be thinking of a Judge Foil, too.
That might be it. But no, this one was my favorite too.
Sorry, no, Mirage is the one I'm thinking of. Not thinking of, but I like the best of the ones listed on the gallery.
Okay. No, mine is definitely this one.
I could see that. That's a very Travis-y card.
It just looks like a sorcerer. And then they all look like sorcerers, but this one is just kind of like.
Really, you know what the Mercadian Mask one also kind of looks like? Click on that one again for a second. Ring around the rosy pocket full of posy.
Side note, have you ever looked into the meaning of that song?
Yeah, it's all about the bubonic plague.
Yeah, it's all about death, so this actually kind of makes sense. Flavor-wise, this is probably the best card.
Maybe. I don't know. It's pretty interesting, though. I think I'm going to continue to enjoy this reprint. Oh, my goodness. There's another Vader that looks incredible as well. Seriously, folks, if you haven't just taken a second and just Googled for
anything.
Yeah.
Altars.
Yeah, literally any altar. Some of these are just absolutely gorgeous. I would love to have some. All right, what's our next card? What's our next pick the best reprint?
The next one.
Oh, is there a full art dark ritual? Is that what I'm thinking of?
We got another classic.
Oh, we're going to have a fight now. I can sense it. I can sense this fight coming. So, one of the single greatest pieces of artwork ever made for Magic the Gathering is the original Birds of Paradise art.
This bad boy right here.
However, just because it is the one of the best Birds of Paradise art ever does not mean it's the best version of Birds of Paradise.
Right.
So, what is your Birds of Paradise? Because I could tell you mine without even looking at the rest of them.
And there's only the three different arts, right?
I think so, yeah.
Well, okay. The three different normal people arts. So, out of all of these, mine is Ravnica.
Mine is also Ravnica.
And I say that because that's the second set where I actually, quote-unquote, played tournaments. I say that because, you know how I am. I'm a very serious player.
Sure, did you just air quote serious at me?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
But this was, like, one of the first ones that I fell in love with.
So I went absolutely crazy in Ravnica. So we knew that Birds of Paradise was going to be coming out. And I went bonkers. Like, I chased them down. I think at one point they were like $15.
Yep.
And that is, at the time, for a rare in Magic the Gathering, that was like ridiculous. And I paid it. I bought not everyone, but I got my playset pretty bloody fast.
Right.
And yeah, it was a very good card, and I was very glad to pick them up. And there's just something about that artwork to me. I don't know if it is the massive rainbow tail, if it's the sweet building in the background, or is the only way I was going to be able to afford to get black borders for my Birds of Paradise. Because I had a bunch of, like, I think 4th edition Birds of Paradise.
All you need is a permanent marker.
Bam, bam, I know. Bam, I know. I tried that and never looked good.
Well, that's because you don't have patience.
That's very, very true. So would you like to pick? Would you like me to pick one?
Yeah.
Captain, you can spell. Doubling Season.
Fingers.
This is a sweet game.
All right, so there is the Modern Masters reprint.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like how it's a mirror image. I'm just looking at it really quick.
Okay.
All right. And then Ravnica. I like the Modern Masters better.
I really do like the Doubling Season from Ravnica there. There's something about the fact that it's kind of like pod people except crystal people. To me, it feels very much like the effect's supposed to be. You're making this token? Well, here, let me pop another one out of the crystallis chamber as well and have a second. So I really do like it.
But with this one, it's an odd number of crystals.
Is it, though? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? I count 6.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The one in the very back is separate. 2.
Yeah, right. There's 3 back there. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, yeah. I'll call it 7.
Yeah.
That's still fun.
That's not double. This one, you can see, you know, it's just a complete...
But it's a piece of paper.
Yeah.
It's not showing you that, hey, we're growing... It's like a ticket. If it was Doubling Ticket, I'd be like, clearly, you are correct, sir. But it's Doubling Season.
Eh.
It's like, oh, this time of the year, twice as many things grow instead of... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh... I definitely feel like we're going to be fighting here.
I mean, oh no. All right, so here is the Masterwork.
The Masterwork. The rebooted RoboCop Solemn Simulacrum.
So he's so sad. He still looks sad in this.
The Batman. The Batman of robot golems. Aww, sad in my pants.
So there's that one.
Don't click on that one first, you dirty commie. There you go. Click on the Mirrodin one. The Mirrodin one first. Yeah. Kai Budai himself, mother truckers.
And then the rest of them are just the same too.
Right. So, I really liked the artwork with the where the people got to design their cards when they had their faces involved in the card, like or bodies or whatever. So I'm gonna like auto pick those basically every single time.
Okay.
However, the new Masterwork version of like Sad Batman or Sad RoboCop or RoboCop Batman.
See, I was honestly very good. When I first saw this, I was just like, oh, that looks exactly like the new RoboCop. Just really, really sad.
Right. It's like, it's Bat Robo Man.
Yeah.
Why did you say that name, Martha? I don't know. I do like that. I think the static picture is probably not going to do its justice like the actual card. Well, I bet the actual card is just like drop dead amazing. Like Kai's Budokai face looking at me. I'm just looking at, just look in those eyes. See how dreamy he is?
No.
Oh, so dreamy. No. Kai's sad.
And he's running around himself.
Nobody even talks about Kai anymore because he doesn't go to magic tournaments and do really exceptionally well anymore. Now he just goes for the team and cooks for them.
Yeah. So this one, I mean,
it's okay. It's fine.
Right. If I had to rank them in order, this one would definitely be number one.
Mm-hmm.
This one, number two.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one,
number four.
So it goes, first place, second place, third place.
get off the field. All right, that's pretty good. I have time for one more. If you have time for one more,
all right. We're going back to another staple.
Oh my goodness, no! Oh, there's so many great ones, Travis. I don't even know how we're going to be able to do this.
Well, I think there's. Three or four of them.
I think you want to start at the beginning, right? The original printing somewhere.
All right.
Classic giant mouse.
All the way at the beginning.
At first there was a giant growth who was a mouse eating a skull. That is scary as hell.
And then he didn't do anything else.
Nope, he just ate skulls for days.
Unlimited, he got a little bit brighter.
Someone turned on the light and he didn't leave.
Someone turned on the light, like, oh, God, and they just closed the door. And
left the light on. He's just still eating skulls.
Yeah.
Well, he had a Snapchat filter applied.
Yeah.
I really like this one. So this is the giant mouse eating, what, like a snake or a dragon?
It looks like a dragon.
I really like this one a lot.
So that's
still not my favorite one.
Fifth edition. Sixth, same thing. Seventh, there you go. That's when, like, all the elves started getting big.
Right. Well, I'm a giant. No, I'm a giant.
Back to that.
This is the snakes becoming giants.
I think this one was really foretelling of Kamigawa.
Yeah, I can't remember if it came right after Kamigawa or right before?
This is before Kamigawa.
Was it?
Yeah, because it goes, what, 9th edition, Mirrodin, then Kamigawa.
It's true. Okay.
So this is from 9th edition, so, you know, they were foretelling these snakes are coming through. And then we get to the bear.
Oh, so good.
And the bear.
I can barely stake it. This is like weird.
Yeah, there's no
there's no way you could tell how big it is.
Yeah, pretty much.
Except for...
it's close.
No, no, no. Think about it. Like, that's supposed to be a fly, right? So sure. That's to scale. Like, if you play this magic card on the table, that's how big that fly is. Like, you get it, right? Like,
yep, next. Right, going back to... and I think this one. This one right here is my favorite.
No, Travis is spoiling. The shadow picture?
Yeah, because you can just actually see, you know, hey, that's how big people are supposed to be. And then you have the giant.
Right.
And, like, I mean, I know you really can't see it on here, but just the looks on the people's faces when you look really close at the card in person, you can look really close and be like, oh, they're kind of scared. Then we go back to the bear, and then that thing, and the bear, and the bear, and the bear, and the mouse. And probably the mouse. So
I'm thinking of one that's got like a giant cat on it. But
it's called Enlarge.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But having just looked at all of them, I have to say the mouse eating the dragon is very, very good.
Yeah.
But the one that is probably the actual like most has the most effect on me, and you're gonna be like, shut up, it's probably the Ice Age one.
This,
the giant fly. Like,
big
it
old
take,
pile of crap.
It,
you know why this set didn't sell? Because the cards are garbage. They all look
bad. No, it's a meta. It's a meta call. It's a meta artwork.
Like, why do you think they had to
like this fly? Them? Oh my god, this giant fly just landed on my Magic the Gathering card.
They canceled the third block of it because it was so awful.
They're going to have it eventually.
No, they did have it.
No, because Cold Snap was... was Cold it the Snap missing...
was,
I thought
yeah,
it was
Cold
the second.
Cold Snap was the missing piece.
Oh, that's sad.
They printed the
I
first
liked
two.
Cold Snap.
Yeah, well, that's because they were like, hey... we know what we're doing now, and let's fix our mistake.
It. Yeah, I like it. I like Cold Snap a lot, but I think that's a good giant growth, actually. Because, again, I think it pulls you out of the game for the effect. If you're just looking at it as on the card, it's kind of meh.
This one foiled the best.
That one foiled the best. I also have to say I like the original mouse as well. And I think that's part of the reason why I like the mouse eating the snake.
So I do like this mouse. I do like this mouse, but I also like Instagram mouse.
With my Instagram filter on. Umcha, umcha, umcha. I know. Overall, I think it's a lot of good. I think we need to like find a website with all the judge promos on it. I think we're just, or the full art ones, I think we'll find some sweet stuff. Because I know for a fact Giant Growth is full arted, but I can't think of it right now.
Yeah.
From like a rewards program kind of thing, I think. But very classic, very, very handsome. So Travis, before I hand the broadcast to you in its entirety, I would like to know what it is that you find most appealing about a piece of magic art.
Honestly,
like I look at certain ones and I just go, man, like this seems so realistic or this looks terrifying.
So for me, when it comes to the art, I don't want to say picky about it. But seeing as how I studied like 7 years worth of artwork.
Is this where you're going to tell me about Bob Ross and growing up as a child again?
No. I'm talking like actual studying art, you know, middle school all the way through college.
Okay.
I think the focal points really stand out to me. you know, like adding the depth of backgrounds and everything. I think those stick out more than the rest. But then also on a completely different scale, the unrealisticness of some of the cards and the colors.
So, I guess I don't know how to really ask this kind of question. But, like, if you were to look at the new style of art that Wizard seems to be kind of using now, right?
Right, the computer
paint. I mean, they do some computer paint, but I know most of it starts as an actual drawing and then eventually
right.
becomes, like, it's usually some mixture of both.
Right, no, like,
but,
the majority like of it is hand-drawn, but then they, you know, when they paint it and then they get it onto the computer and refine it.
Right.
That's what I mean by computer art.
Like that, like hyper realistic style,
yeah.
Or the original kind of style that it was, I don't want to say cartoony, but like, I don't know, like more classic fantasy art, maybe?
Well, you can tell that it hasn't been altered.
Well, not just that, but like, so pull up something from, like the dark, or pull up, what's the elf? There's like, is it Elvish Ranger maybe that I'm thinking of? Try Elvish Ranger, and then don't forget to share your screen. For the YouTube element that you can check out at youtube.com/SamusGoRobo. Travis is just like completely stone face.
Share. Oh, I had to push share.
Okay, so this style of artwork is kind of what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And then, like, if you keep clicking here, I think the other one from. No, there's two artworks in. In that one set.
No, there's not. Oh.
Yeah, there is. So you have the sexy Elvish Ranger is kind of like their, I don't know, like the beginning of the more on that path to the more realistic version.
Yeah.
Because it was far and away the more popular variation compared to that one. That kind of looks almost like an orc, right?
Right.
But, like, I am drawn to that, I guess I would call it cruder art style.
This?
You know what I mean? Like, I would like to see more artwork that looks like that.
Well,
I don't think it would go very well in the current frames or anything like that.
No. I think
this
art style, it was what was popular.
Like, it was all original. Well, exactly. Like I said, it's like original fantasy artwork at the time, like all watercolors.
Right. I mean, and even with, you know, certain cards. You know, her. Well, I guess this is not really a good example. Because how far back does she go? Like.
That's the original printing.
Yeah, like her art.
Those exactly like what you're talking about. Like that's the original watercolor.
Right.
So he has pulled up a picture of Soul Warden.
And then
there's the retouched, remastered Soul Warden. Like it's definitely the same artwork. It's just so much crisper and cleaner and definitely not what was originally on the painting.
Right.
Or what they could move from the painting to the magic card.
Right. And for me, I like being able to see the crispness, I guess I could say. Like, I like being able to see that.
So, like, if we go back to the original, is it Exodus?
Yeah.
So if we look at the original Exodus, and if we were to have the physical painting in front of us, it would probably look more like the remastered version than this does.
Right.
But I think that this feels more like a handcrafted card to me, and which is why part of the reason I think I'm drawn to it. I don't know.
I just like being crispy.
I totally understand. That's why I was asking, because everyone's different when it comes to artwork. And I think it tells you a lot about somebody if they can explain why they like it.
So, like, for me, when it comes to live paintings, like with animals or people or... animals or people or cars, I want to have things be crisp. Like, I want to see all of the details. Like, I want to see all of the shadows, everything. But when it comes to, I don't know, like, landscapes, I kind of want to be able to use my imagination with landscapes and be able to see, you know, it's like, hey, you know, this could be, like, this type of tree or something. And then, you know, have to envision what that tree is. So that can be less crisp and more vague, I guess, if that's how you want to say it.
It's an interesting kind of reasoning there. I never really thought of it before. Like I said, for me, it's just a matter of the two different art styles, really. That being said, like, sometime we'll have to show off some of my artwork. I have it down here in my office. But a couple of years ago, my brother bought me this absolutely amazing Iron Man picture that's like made from ink splatters, really. And it's just his head plate. And it's very, very like throw the paint, let it drip, kind of make it work. Mm-hmm. And I really love it. But then at the same time, I can easily reach this one. So I'll pull this one down. At the same time, I have something like this that I picked up at Gen Con a couple of years ago, and it's not anywhere near the same style, but they capture so much more emotion with this that I really like it. But with the other piece, it's all about how I feel when I look at the piece at that moment, where this is telling me what I'm supposed to be feeling, essentially, with like the paint kind of dripping down or running down the beginning of the helmet, the old style armor. Like, he definitely feels in the middle of action here, where the other one, it's just like, what random ass emotion are you going to infer at that particular second? And I think that older magic style does the same thing for me.
Right.
Kind of shows that older, that lets you infer whatever the emotion is at the time that you want to look at it. And I think that's really cool. As opposed to telling you, like, hey, you're supposed to think, this dude has killed that guy or whatever, or is investigating. That's the Ovenwald Mysteries, the deck that never happened yet. But like some of my favorite artworks would be like the Unhinged Lands or the Unglued Lands.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's hard to say, because that's definitely crisp and clear, but yet still vague in the background, just like you were kind of talking.
And
I don't know. I just like what I like. I'm a heathen.
Really quick, what's your favorite land cycle? Basic land cycle.
So my favorite lands kind of bounce all over, right? Okay. So like my favorite planes is the Razor Grass from Mirrodin. Mm-hmm. My favorite tree is right here, actually. It's like the fat root tree. My favorite swamp is probably the swamp from Kamigawa, where it's like the hut village and up in the swamps.
Okay.
My favorite mountain is definitely the circle or the ring mountain. I think it was originally printed in a Zendikar. You know, it's got like the ring and it's like falling or whatever.
Right.
And my favorite island kind of is all up in the air. Like, I really like these new islands from Kaladesh.
These islands kind of remind me of, like, if you did a close-up on Dubai.
Maybe, yeah. Like, the one I'm thinking of in particular, it's like a sandbar, but it has all these little, like, miniature rivers going through. I really like that one. But I also really love the Bowl Island from like the Zendikar or whatever, mm-hmm. where it is, you know, like the earth is feeding or giving the ocean its water. I really like that. But if I were to put my finger on it and say which one island is probably my favorite, I would say the school. Again, I think it's from Kamigawa, where there's like the buildings and the rainbow and they're like the little floaty islands at the waterfall.
Yep.
So I guess a lot of my artwork actually, like, so two of my lands come from Kamigawa, one from Mirrodin, one from Innistrad? Or not Innistrad. The Zendikar?
Yeah, Zendikar.
I mean, it still looks really good on not the full art, in my opinion. I just like that ring. Something about that particular ring I think is really interesting to me. So it's hard to tell. And I don't know how much of that is investment into the colors at the time that I played those sets. That could also be a big factor. I don't know. That's a good question. I'm curious how much that feels in. What is your favorite arts? Basic land arts.
You know, individually, I don't really have favorite land arts. I mean, I'm sure if I went through and looked at all of them, I could find one in particular. But my favorite land cycle is from Kamigawa. And it's because they all make a scene.
Right. That's true.
Like, you just line up all four different land pieces and they all make a scene.
I'm also going to say I really like that tree from Zendikar. Also, with the, like, the big tree growing over the pyramid.
Yeah.
So, anyway. I don't know. I would love to be able to like, I don't know, maybe this is something we could do where you start with a selection of art and we let people vote or something and it just kind of windles down to like the best five pieces of art. For one, for each basic land type or something.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work from a programming point of view. But I don't know. I would love to see that because there are so many great lands. And if you think about it, not every block has its own lands. But most of them do. And so you're talking about at least one new land for every block.
Right.
And usually two. And you're talking about, I don't even know how many blocks of Magic over the course of history, plus core sets sometimes had their own artwork. Just ages. I'm also going to throw out real fast, because another island has come to mind that I really like. The snow-covered island, but it is itself not snow-covered, from Ice Age.
Yeah.
That had the Easter Island-type heads on it.
Okay.
It's also very pretty. So, I don't know. It's weird. Good question. I'd have to think about it a lot before I actually sat down and said these are my favorites. But, again, I wonder how much of that has to deal with the colors I was playing or the decks I was playing at the time. And I just happen to see those over and over and over again. Anyway, awesome little topic there, Travis. Anything else you'd like to add to the end of the show here?
No, I think that's everything. Yeah, I think that's about it.
I will drive to your house and cut your beard off.
Oh, that means I get to see Samus. Troll on.
Troll on, everybody.